on this episode of RevHang. Andretti would like a word with you.
I had Alex Pillow. This was a good week.
And Norris got it, and I agree with that. And everyone else can disagree with me.
Suck it.
Yep. Or that.
Can't keep getting away with it.
Oh, I can and I will. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RevHang. I'm Nathan, as always, and alongside me across the airwaves, thanks to the power of the internet, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Doing pretty good. I'm a little tired. Me and my wife picked up a new puppy. Our first dog together on Monday.
Nice.
So we've had her a week, and she is so smart. She is kicking our butts.
Oh, boy.
But it's also, she's also pretty cute.
Nice. Yeah, I did see pictures of that on your socials.
Yep. Yeah, she's an Australian Shepherd, a red tri, and she has a tail, which is really cool.
Huh.
A lot of them are born naturally docked without tails, so it's a bit harder to find ones that still have tails.
Huh. Nice. Well, that's cool. I am happy for you. Congratulations on that.
Yep. She already knows sit and sign language.
Oh, wow.
Working on lay, but...
You're teaching them fast.
Yeah, she learns fast.
Awesome. All right. Well, this is not a dog podcast as much as that would probably be more popular than what we are currently doing. This is a racing podcast. So let's get into some racing. We've got a few races that happened since last time we spoke. Two of them we're going to talk about in depth. One of them we will gloss over. But let's jump right in with some paddock news, and the first race, which we will gloss over, is Le Mans. A Ferrari won Le Mans this year, narrowly beating a Toyota for first place in the hypercar slot. And it was Fuoco Molina and Nielsen's car, the number 50. The number 51 was also on the podium in third place. And fun fact, Nick DeVries was in the Toyota that came in second. So, you know, no one can say he's a bad driver. Yeah.
He's just a bad F1 driver.
Yeah, not a great F1 driver, but, you know, you end up on the podium in Le Mans, like, you've got chops.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly thought I must have gotten mixed up with someone else, but I thought Toyota stopped Le Mans racing in, like, 2018 or something like that.
Nope. They are...
For some reason, I immediately thought, I was like, huh, Toyota's still doing this.
You may be thinking of Audi.
Yeah, I am thinking of Audi.
Audi dropped off. And now they're joining Formula One, so who knows? Maybe they'll be back. Very, very popular manufacturer in the Le Mans series. It has been a while since they left the series. But I would not be surprised if they were back in the future now that they are well into their F1 ventures. And have probably a top-tier engine department, if I were to guess. Speaking of top-tier engine departments, Alpine are dropping Renault engines. Well, not confirmed yet, but...
Allegedly,
Alpine and Formula One are dropping the Renault engines and are going to become a customer team starting in 2026. Renault scrapping, possibly, their engine... plans after the Le Mans fiasco, in which both Alpine cars had engine failures, catastrophic engine failures within six hours of the start of the race. World Endurance engines, Formula One engines, they're just not good at it. So they will become a customer team, and that has to be up there with the most humiliating things that could have possibly happened to that team.
Yeah, they're always like the scrappy underdog engine supplier. I always thought of them. I guess they made Red Bull engines for a while.
Yeah, but Red Bull dropped them because they kept blowing up.
That also is fair. Yeah.
So
before my time, but
right. Yeah. Renault's never been great at making racing engines at the top level of motorsport. They do a pretty good job at the lower tiers, but when it comes to the best, they are not there. And it's kind of unfortunate. But it is what it is.
Man, if only there were another engine supplier ready to provide engines in this series that could have been let in a little earlier.
Yeah, if only, if
Nothing's
only.
coming to mind, though. Oh,
Yeah,
well.
no. Well, speaking of which, this, I feel like there's a very real possibility with Alpine not having the Renault engines. This might be so embarrassing for Renault, since Renault owns Alpine. They might just sell to Andretti next year. Like, that could happen.
Yeah, but I don't want that. I want blood and violence. I want Andretti to burst on their own team.
Okay.
Yeah. I want retribution.
Alrighty, Ben. Oh, maybe you'll get
I
your
want the
retribution.
Metal Gear Vengeance Rising comeback.
Little intense today, Ben.
Yeah.
I
Well,
like
I
it.
just got off work and,
Yeah, that's fair.
tired and irritable. You know, after my white collar desk job.
Yeah, so you're letting Alpine,
Letting him have
letting
it.
him have it. Okay.
Letting him know what I think about him.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with this whole Alpine thing. I don't know how much credibility there is in this, but it seems like enough people are talking about it that this is probably a real possibility that Renault will no longer be on the grid as an engine supplier in 2026. Alpine could hop over to Honda, they could hop over to Mercedes. I don't really see them joining Ferrari or Ford. But they have some options, but they will no longer be a works team, which is interesting.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Nolan Siegel signed with Arrow McLaren in IndyCar full time, and they have dropped Théo Pourchaire to make room for him. Very confusing stuff.
How do you feel about this?
I don't like it. I think they boarded the hype train a little too soon on this one. Nolan Siegel did, to his credit, win Le Mans in the LMP2 class. So there's that.
But they already had it. I feel like Théo Pourchaire is doing really well.
He was, and he's, yeah.
They had a consistent driver who was getting familiar with the car.
Yeah, he was very solid. I'm not really sure what the thought process was there. Good news is, Théo Pourchaire is now back on the market in the F1 world.
Yeah, because I'm sh surely they will hire another rookie, surely.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with McLaren in that whole realm. It's unfortunate for Pourchaire. I hope he can find a spot somewhere in a big series, even if it's World Endurance. He's definitely a quality driver and deserves to be somewhere making money. So, hopefully he can make that happen. But that number six McLaren is now on the third driver for the year. Well, yeah, third driver for the year, fourth scheduled driver.
First.
Originally, it was supposed to be David Malukas. Then he broke his wrist, and then they replaced him with Callum Ilott for the first race or two, and then Théo Pourchaire for the next few races, and now Nolan Siegel. So,
How long do you think Siegel's gonna last? Especially after he spun out a little bit at Laguna Seca.
we'll see. We'll see. Maybe Logan Sargeant, when he gets dropped mid-season for Kimi Antonelli, will be announced
I
to Arrow
actually think I
McLaren.
hate that more.
I hate that so much, but I feel like IndyCar is the only place for Logan Sargeant now.
There have been rumors about him coming back to a Prima IndyCar team.
Yeah, because Prema will be on the grid next year in IndyCar. So that is definitely a rumor. Has credibility because he has ties to Prema already. So we'll see what happens there. But
A
speaking of Kimi.
Sergeant Porsche Prima team.
You know what? Yeah.
I don't hate
I
it.
don't hate it. I don't love it. But, you know, I hope Logan Sargeant can find somewhere that he will not get absolutely slandered every weekend.
Yep.
All right, speaking of Kimi Antonelli, he was given a super license a couple weeks ago, or given the go-ahead for one, even though
Colton Herta is seething right
he is
now.
17. Yeah, Colton Herta is punching air. He is 17 years old, and an exception was made. The Max Verstappen rule has been broken. However, Max Verstappen will still always be the youngest race winner. Well, not always. I don't know. If they keep breaking the rules, maybe we'll get a 15-year-old in F1 in a couple of years.
There you go.
But Kimi Antonelli is older than Verstappen was when he won his first race, so that record will stand. Not that I really cared that much, but notable, I guess. So yeah, interesting. They kind of made a deviation from the rules there to get him in. I don't see why they would do this unless Williams was planning on slotting him in mid-season. The rumor is that he will be replacing Sargent. It was either before or after Silverstone. I don't remember which one. So we'll see how that goes, see what happens there. But I don't know why they would make a big deal about getting this guy a super license if he wasn't going to be on the grid mid-season. Because by the time next season starts, he'll be 18. It wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Yeah.
So, kind of strange. But all signs point to an Antonelli start in the mid-season, which I absolutely, positively disagree with. He has had zero results in terms of wins in F2 so far. And, I just don't think he's ready. He's too young. He's not got the experience. He doesn't have the F2 experience. I don't see it going well. He could be the next Verstappen, but Verstappen did have F2 results. Well, no, he didn't. He skipped F2. That's right. He had F3 results. So who knows? Maybe Kimi Antonelli is the next Max Verstappen, but we all remember how Verstappen started his career, earned himself the nickname Max Crashstappen. So
yeah, he was Max Crashstappen up until like 4 years ago.
Yeah, really until 21 with that Lewis title fight. But now he doesn't, and now he's in the conversation for greatest of all time. Gonna make people angry that I said that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Antonelli be an excellent WEC driver after he gets chewed up and spit out by what is the completely unfair and unrelenting driver market and driver pipeline in F1 right now.
Yeah. You got Kimi Antonelli, who has had, I don't even know if he's gotten a podium. He probably has. But if you compare his season to Logan Sargent's F2 season, Logan Sargent had like 3 or 4 wins and then gets shoehorned into F1. Still too early, and now we all are seeing what's happening.
The lesson that they took from it was, Logan Sargent was too old. We have to go younger. That must have been the problem.
Nick DeVries won F2, and then won Formula E. He gets put into F1, and utter failure. So I just don't think this is going to work. I think this is detrimental to Antonelli's career. He should have at least another year or two in Formula 2. But I am not getting paid the big bucks, so, you know.
Maybe you should, Nathan. Maybe you should be getting paid the big bucks.
Maybe I should. But currently, I am not, had a sad report. All right, moving on. Mercedes has contacted the police over an accusatory email. Somebody emailed, I think it was all the F1 teams, saying that Mercedes is sabotaging Lewis Hamilton's car to give George Russell an advantage. Mercedes was very angered by this and has gotten the police involved, and they are tracing IPs and all of that stuff. So
it sounds like the actions of a guilty team, if you ask me.
It's possible. I doubt it very much, but it is a little funny that after this comes out, Hamilton decisively beats Russell in a race. Pretty funny, but I really doubt that they would sabotage his car. Sure, they're probably not going to give him all the information that they have, because he's leaving, so they're not going to give him development information. But
there's still money on the line for how they place in the constructors, though. So.
Exactly. And you still, there's no reason to sabotage his car. So I don't think that has any sort of relevance or merit at all there. But anyway.
F1 fans are funny sometimes.
They really are. Moving on, our last paddock news point. IndyCar is moving to hybrid engines in the middle of the season, starting at the next race. I forget where the next race is, but I think it... I'm blanking. It's
Having Laguna Seca now really messed up my order of races for IndyCar.
it really did, yeah. I forget what track it is, but IndyCar is switching to hybrid engines, and we'll see how this goes.
I mean, it seems like everybody's kind of bullish on it, actually. I haven't seen a whole lot of pushback on it.
Yeah, no, there hasn't been a lot of pushback, but I don't know, switching engines in the middle of a season just seems like a recipe for disaster. Or for at least some teams. I'm sure it'll be fine for a bunch of the teams, but I bet you there's gonna be some explosions in the next race.
God, I hope so. It's mid-Ohio,
It's
by the
mid-Ohio.
way.
That's yeah, I was like, I
Yeah.
know it's a two-word track, too. There's two words. Not Noval, like we said last year. Mid-Ohio is
No.
not
The
Noval.
next one is, yeah. Next one is in Iowa. That's the double header, which
Iowa's, yeah.
I love the Iowa double header.
Iowa is a very great oval track. Very fun to watch. Probably my favorite oval on the calendar. I'd say. But anyway, let's move into IndyCar. Talk about qualifying real quick. We'll go through the top 10 to give some context for Laguna Seca. On pole
My
position
favorite
was,
track.
yeah, great track, favorite track. Pole position was Alex Palou, followed by Kyle Kirkwood, Felix Rosenqvist, Colton Herta, and Alex Rossi. 6 through 10 were Christian Lundgaard, Scott McLaughlin, Romain Grosjean, Pato O'Ward, and Scott Dixon. All right, moving into the race. Kirkwood had a great start passing Palou around the outside of turn two for the lead of the race with a fantastic move that is very hard to pull off. I know from experience in video games, which translate directly to real life. McLaughlin went off at turn three, dropping to the back of the field. On lap 26, Rossi cycled to the front of the field on pit strategy. On lap 27, Lundgaard went off and collected a styrofoam sign, greatly affecting his downforce. After a caution, Palou took the lead on pit strategy. On lap 41, Siegel spun off but kept his car running. He was able to rejoin at the back and had a pretty decent recovery drive, too.
I'll give him that, yeah.
Herta cycled to the front on pit strategy but was reeled in by Palou on lap 64. With 21 laps to go, Lundgaard sent Armstrong off and into the wall, causing a caution. Newgarden benefited from the caution and cycled to P2 after pitting, but quickly went off track and dropped to P5, further having a bad season. There were a few more late yellows that kept the field packed up at the end of the race, but Palou was able to maintain the lead until the end and pick up yet another win. Really is the Max Verstappen of IndyCar.
He's doing so well right now. I was really hoping Herta would be able to challenge him. He was able to for a little bit, but man, Palou had over 2 seconds on him by the end of the race, didn't he?
It was
So yeah, he was locked in.
Palou's just so good.
That was
Very.
even with a decent strategy from Andretti for Herta.
Yeah, the two strategies were very close to each other. It was pretty fun to watch. But all right, so the results, first through fifth were Palou, Herta, Rossi, Grosjean, and Kirkwood. Grosjean with a fourth place finish. Fantastic stuff.
Love to see it.
Yeah, he was even fighting for the lead at one point. Pretty cool. 6 through 10 were Dixon, Power, O'Ward, Ferrucci, and Ericsson. Ericsson with a decent result too. 11 through 15 were Rosenqvist, Siegel, Rasmussen, Fittipaldi, and Lundgaard. 16 through 20 were Malukas, Lundqvist, Canepino, Newgarden, and Stingray Robb. 21 through 25 were Scott McLaughlin, Marcus Armstrong, Kiffin Simpson, Graham Rahal, and Jack Harvey. 26 and 27 were Arenas VK and Luca Giotto. And I believe Scott McLaughlin was the last finisher. Yeah, I think it's possible Marcus Armstrong finished, but there were a few DNFs. Notably, what's notable? Malukas in 16th, with his first race back with his wrist at 80%, and on that track, I can imagine, with no power steering, he was feeling it at the end.
Yeah.
Nolan Siegel, with his first race for McLaren, third race of the year, finished 12th after falling to the back about halfway through the race. So a fantastic recovery drive, getting solid points. Christian Rasmussen had a good result in 13th. Good result for him, I should say. He finished the race.
Rossi in third.
Yeah, Rossi, first podium.
Highest we've seen him all season.
Yeah, and Grosjean in fourth, highest we've seen him. Canapino in 18th in his first race back after a short hiatus. And he had his fair share of drama, taking, I believe it was Marcus Armstrong. No, it was Kiffin Simpson out.
Yeah.
And oh boy, once I saw that post on Instagram from IndyCar of that whole incident, I just went straight to the comments and made some popcorn. Boy, the toxicity surrounding that driver is immense.
Was it pretty bad?
It was pretty bad.
I completely skipped over it. I didn't even bother.
It was like people blaming Canapino, and then Canapino fans just absolutely going off. And it was 1,000% Canapino's fault, so...
yeah.
You know. Anyway, moving on. We try to avoid drama here, except for when we don't. All right.
Yeah.
So we had some big names with good results, and big names with bad results. Joseph Newgarden in 19th did not have a very good race. He has not been having good races this season. He is most likely pretty far out of the championship running. Big names, good results. We had Palou, Herta, Dixon, Power. Past that, it's just kind of middle of the road. And then Scott McLaughlin in 21st had a good race until he crashed. So, unfortunate. Colton Herta looked a lot better this weekend. Andretti in general looked a lot better this weekend. Looks like they knew what they were doing. Colton Herta had a great result with P2. Grosjean.
Kirkwood had a great start to the race.
Kirkwood did have a great start to the race, and he finished, what, fifth? Yeah. So, pretty good result.
Yeah.
Grosjean, as we've said a few times, looking strong for the first time in a while. He looked under control and fast at the same time, which is not a combo I'm used to seeing with him.
This is kind of his track, though. I feel like this is
he does do very well.
I've always seen him be strongest.
Yeah, he does do very well here. And then Christian Lundgaard had an interesting day with at least, I think, three off-track excursions. boy, that must have been a tough race for him. All right, moving into the standings, Alex Palou takes the lead of the championship from Will Power, still very close at the top. The split between first and ninth is just over 100 points. So I'd say top eight probably realistically have a shot still. Farther down you are, obviously, the more you're going to want to reel it in the latter half of the season. But Alex Palou, Will Power, Scott Dixon, Colton Herta, and even Kyle Kirkwood have a very legitimate shot at the championship still. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. IndyCar always goes to the last race, except for when it doesn't, like last year. but
yeah, that was decided at Portland, wasn't it?
Yep, it was decided at Portland. You were there. You watched Palou do the donuts. But yeah, it'll be another interesting end to the season, even though it's still technically possible for all these drivers to win. With how Palou has been doing, I don't see anybody else really taking it.
I would love to see a Ganassi Andretti fight between those four drivers. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I just want Colton Herta to finish in the top three so he is eligible for a super license.
Finally. He finished, what, like sixth last year?
Yeah, something like that. I don't even know if it was that. I think it was like 10th. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he needed sixth or something like that.
Yeah. So
now, what am I saying?
I don't know what you're saying, Ben, but I don't know what I'm saying either half the time. So hopefully Colton Herta gets high enough to get that super license so that when Andretti eventually ends up in F1, because I just don't see them, they're not going to give up. If and when they end up in F1, Colton Herta's probably first in line for that seat, along with maybe Joseph Newgarden. Well, honestly, even Alex Palou at this point has expressed interest in Formula One, and who can blame him? He's gonna be probably a three-time champion by then. Yeah. So, and then Award also, but that's. I'm sure most of these drivers would love to be in F1 if they had the opportunity. All
Yeah.
right. So that kind of rounds off IndyCar for the week. Let's move on to Formula One and the Spanish Grand Prix. Go through qualifying. The top 10 were Lando Norris on pole position with another fantastic drive. Max Verstappen in second, Lewis Hamilton in third, George Russell in fourth, and Charles Leclerc in fifth. 6 through 10 were Sainz, Gasly, Ocon, Piastri, and Alonso. The Alpines coming in strong this week. And then we had 11 through 15 were, well, I guess we'll go through all of qualifying. Perez, Bottas, Hülkenberg, Stroll, and Zhou. Perez once again missing out on Q3, apparently. I thought he made it in, but. Oh, no. Yeah, he did make it in. He had a three-place grid penalty. And then 15 through 20 were Zhou, Magnussen, Tsunoda, Ricciardo, Sargeant, and Albon. Sargeant qualifying Albon for the first time in his career. Nope, that's not right. Sorry, Albon must have taken an engine penalty, because
Yeah, he did take a penalty because he started from pit.
Sargeant qualified last and then got himself a three-place grid penalty, dropping him to last. So, just classic Logan Sargeant things. Moving into the race, Russell had a great start passing Norris and Verstappen into turn one to take the lead. Norris dropped behind Verstappen as well. On lap three, Verstappen passed Russell for the lead. For the next few laps, Norris chased down Russell, eventually passing him with an overcut. On lap 19, Hamilton passed Sainz for P6. Norris pit on lap 24, going six laps longer than Verstappen and Russell. He didn't pass him with an overcut. I was wrong. He just had a different pit strategy. Piastri made his way up to P7 during the middle stages of the race, passing Gasly and Perez. On lap 32, Norris passed Hamilton for P3, and on lap 35, Norris passed Russell for P2 after a fantastic wheel-to-wheel battle, probably the best one of the season so far.
Yep.
On lap 52, Hamilton passed Russell for P3, and Norris chased Verstappen down for the rest of the race, bit by bit, second by second, but couldn't quite catch him, finishing just a couple seconds behind.
If you had a few more laps, you might have. Who
I'd
knows?
say a solid, three more laps, and Norris probably would have won that race. And if Norris had a decent start, he probably would have won that race. All right, results of the race. Max Verstappen ended up winning, followed by Norris and Hamilton on the podium. Fourth and fifth were Russell and Leclerc. 6 through 10 were Sainz, Piastri, Perez, Gasly, and Ocon. 11 through 15 were Hülkenberg, Alonso, Zhou, Stroll, and Ricciardo. 16 through 20, rounding off the finishers, were Bottas, Magnussen, Albon, Tsunoda, and Sargeant. And there were no DNFs.
Boring.
Boring, no yellow flags, no DNFs. Second year in a row that has been the case in Spain.
I do like the track, though.
The track is so much better since they removed the chicane. So much
Yeah.
better. It's.
I honestly haven't even noticed that the chicane is missing because the racing was just, it just went fine.
That was probably the most entertaining race without a yellow flag that I have ever seen. That was
I
a it was a
agree.
good race. It was very enjoyable to watch. And there was no drama, which usually is what makes it fun to watch, but So I think Spain is a lot better without that chicane. I hope they keep it on the calendar with Madrid joining either next year or 26. I forgot. I think it's next year. And I think we'll have Madrid and Barcelona for a few years. Who knows if Barcelona will stay. It's just so hard for these purpose-built tracks to compete with street circuits monetarily, which is so stupid.
It's very sad, yeah.
But that is the way Formula One is going. And there's not much the common fan like you or I can do about it.
Don't be like that. If we all band together and use teamwork, I'm sure we can convince them to do the right thing and keep the series focused on historic tracks and locations and excellent racing.
Andretti would like a word with you. Trying to convince Liberty Media to do the right thing that's not for monetary gain.
Send me after him. Put me in, coach.
Go get him, Ben. Here's a question for you. Would you rather drop 4 purpose-built tracks and replace them with street circuits and have Andretti on the grid? Or would you rather not have Andretti on the grid and have those 4 purpose-built tracks and not replace them with street circuits?
I hate myself for saying this, but probably no Andretti and keep the circuits.
Yeah, I think I'm probably in the same boat. We're getting to the point where there's not a lot of tracks that I would enjoy cutting. Zandvoort would probably be one of them.
Does Monaco count? Can we get rid of Monaco?
That's a whole nother debate.
It's historic, but it's a street track.
They need to... I don't want them to get rid of Monaco, but they gotta do something. They gotta find a way to fix it. There's a couple things
they
can do.
Make it a go-kart track or something. I don't know.
There's a couple things they can do that might help. But the new regulation cars are smaller and a lot lighter, so Monaco might be a little better next year, or 2 years from now, I should say.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. And with the primarily electronic engines... I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, yeah. All right. So, Lando Norris was the fastest car on track this week. Throughout most of the weekend, he just unfortunately completely screwed up the start, and that was the race gone. But very encouraging for McLaren. I see Lando winning at least one more race this year, if not more. I would be surprised if he didn't.
He's starting to get into that mentality.
Yeah, he's upset. He was upset with second place. Like, very upset. He didn't do his classic bottle smash thing on the podium. He was angry at himself.
Yeah, he wanted it.
He was angry at himself. But he wants to win now. And that's where McLaren are at. They're not just satisfied with podiums anymore. They're there to win. And fair enough, they have probably the fastest car on the grid. Max Verstappen's
crazy
just
to think about.
It's just Max is so next level that it's I can't believe that Red Bull is faster than the McLaren like mechanically.
If it was that fast, if it was faster than McLaren, Perez would have been further ahead than
exactly.
Well, I wouldn't have to look up where he finished. 8th.
Perez is the reason why I think that the Red Bull is no longer the fastest car. I think Perez is a lot better than we have been giving him credit for. I just think Max is so next level that it's just he makes everybody else look bad in that car. But we'll see what happens. Austria has always been a Lando Norris track. So, well, that let's not spoil things, but we'll get there.
I explain some things that I've seen later on in the script.
All right. Hamilton had his first podium of the season, first one since, what was the race last year? Don't remember. But first podium in a while. Ferrari had some drama with their drivers this weekend. They hit each other, very light tap. But I think it was Leclerc passing Sainz, and there was some slight contact. It might have been the other way around. But then both drivers were immediately on the radio complaining. Sainz kind of called Leclerc a baby after the race. It was, you know, Ferrari being Ferrari.
yep.
And
it's starting to get to be kind of a meme, the signs "he can't pass me"
yeah,
radio dialogues and post-race interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell him to give me back the position and nothing will bad will happen.
Nothing bad will happen. It's not a threat. It's a promise. All right. Next up, we've got Alpine, who seemed to have had a good weekend, but it didn't seem like it was luck. Like, they seemed to be fast enough to score points this week.
Yeah.
And they did.
Did they bring updates to this race, or was that a couple races ago?
I think they brought updates this race. A lot of teams brought updates this race. McLaren was one of the only ones that didn't, and they were still the fastest car. And they are bringing up big upgrades to Austria, from what I hear, and Silverstone. So, exciting stuff for a McLaren fan such as myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like an upgrade could make them go... They have a starting point. They couldn't get slower.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I guess Aston Martin kind of is the exception to that rule, but...
I don't know if Aston Martin's getting slower or if they're just not getting faster.
Because the same thing happened last year.
Yeah,
they got slower after upgrades.
It's so weird. Aston Martin's whole... That whole team, it's so strange because they start out the season so strong every year. And then they just absolutely... They fail in the development race. They're never anywhere.
It defies logic.
It's weird. You can't say that they have a bad development team because they start every year strong. So their off-season development is fantastic. But their mid-season development is horrible. I don't know how that's even possible.
Like, yeah, they don't know how to use the data. They're using their data from the races wrong or something like that.
Yeah.
So weird.
It may get better in the future. They are hiring some big names from Red Bull, and they just hired one of the head Ferrari technical directors. So they've got some big names coming their way. They've been poaching people forever. So it's got to turn around at some point. I don't think Fernando Alonso would have signed another multi-year deal if he didn't see things getting better in the future. So yeah. But back to Alpine, double points finish, 9th and 10th, further helping them in the championship fight, actually passing Haas. So Alpine is now in 7th place after starting the season driving tractors.
That feels much more right to me.
It definitely feels more right.
Seeing Haas with Hulkenberg and Magnussen,
yeah,
ahead of both Alpines, just it felt wrong.
Yeah, so Alpine has bounced back a little bit. Still not where they want to be, but not where they were at the beginning of the season, that is for sure.
Yeah, no, everybody's kind of hoping that they would stay competitive with Aston Martin, probably, and Mercedes.
Yeah.
That has not been true.
Yeah. Speaking of teams that are where they started the season, Sauber, not getting better. it's still pretty bad. I'm not looking forward to the end of the season. I don't know if they're gonna score points. I'm less convinced now. that hot sauce is looking more and more real.
I gotta start shopping.
Yeah, we gotta figure out what to do for that. I was asking my coworker about that today. All right. Standings for Formula One. Not much has changed other than Lando Norris is now second in the championship. For the first time in his career. Really weird seeing him that high up on the standings.
Yeah.
But very cool. Perez is down in fifth with Oscar Piastri rapidly approaching.
Fighting with Sainz for that fourth place spot.
Yeah, and Sainz missed a race. Anyway, Perez things. Not much else has changed or is notable.
Lance Stroll is still beating Daniel Ricciardo.
Yes. Yeah, but not Yuki Tsunoda. And Lance has 17 points to Alonso's 41.
Russell and Hamilton are still matched.
Yeah.
So well.
They are very close together.
It's like the most even driver pairing.
Yeah.
For the past couple seasons.
For sure. Ollie Bearman is still in the top 15. all right, teams. Red Bull Racing way out in front with a 60-point lead over Ferrari. in second, and McLaren in third. McLaren is way further back. Piastri has not been helping their cause there. But they could definitely slingshot towards the front as the season goes on. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And then Mercedes is like 100 points behind everybody else. So I think Mercedes is pretty much locked into fourth at this point. And then the top three is going to be interesting. I don't know if Red Bull has it made in the shade yet. I'm not going to make any calls there at the moment. I think Max Verstappen is still probably going to win the championship, but I think it's going to be very close. I think it's going to be closer than it has been the last couple of years. I'll say that.
Not hard, but yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
And man, I'm really hoping we get a good constructors fight.
Yeah.
That'd be so awesome.
That would be awesome. Even if Max won and then it's like a Ferrari championship or McLaren, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. How long has it been since Ferrari had a constructors?
2007 or 11? No. 2007 was their last drivers. I want to say, I don't remember. Maybe 2004 with Schumacher. It's been a while. It's been a long time.
Can you imagine if they, after 20 years, got their constructors? Italy would go up in flames. It would combust.
Yeah. Considering when Italy wins anything, they destroy their own country for some reason. Oh, man. I'll never forget the World Cup a few years ago. Italy, like, wins the quarterfinals and, like, Rome is on fire. yeah, that was pretty funny. But, all right. We got the Olympics this year, too, so might get a double whammy
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That's in France, though.
That is in France. And I don't know if Italy is dominant in any particular sport. Nothing comes to mind.
Which it would be even more insane if Italy won the Olympics, I guess.
Right. All right. Pit stop championship. We'll go through the top 10. Verstappen, with a time of 1.92 seconds, took the first place spot. Followed by Perez with a 2-second flat pit stop. And Ocon in third. Followed by Leclerc and Hamilton. 6 through 10 were Sainz, Gasly, Norris, Albon, and Tsunoda. The slowest, fastest pit stop of the race was Kevin Magnussen and Haas at 3.85 seconds. Ouch.
We had some pretty decently fast. I mean, there are definitely some stinkers, but I feel like these fastest pit stops are actually not bad.
Yeah, top four were all under 2.1, which is very solid.
Yeah.
And then anything sub two is, you know, phenomenal. So I think McLaren still has the fastest one of the season, though. I think they have a 1.8 something. Or maybe that was Red Bull.
That was his...
I don't remember.
No, I think you're right. I think that was McLaren.
Yeah. They've taken it the last couple of years. All right. So standings for the Pit Stop Championship have not changed. I think Alpine moved ahead of RB is the only thing in the constructors. There might be some movement in drivers, but nothing at the top. All right, overtake of the week. I gave this one to George Russell for his overtake on Lando Norris and Max Verstappen on lap one of the Spanish Grand Prix. It was pretty insane.
Yep.
I've never seen a dive bomb from that far back around the outside of turn one in Spain.
Yeah, that was definitely my top one too. My second one was definitely Grosjean around the outside on, I can't remember who he passed, but at Laguna Seca.
Yeah, I think it was it Rossi? No. Might have been Russ.
It might have been.
Might have been Kirkwood, because Kirkwood finished one place behind Grosjean. I don't remember.
I don't know, but Grosjean's pass around the outside, making it stick, was pretty cool.
Yep, that was up there along with Kirkwood's on the first lap, which was same kind of pass. But I think Grosjean, I don't think Grosjean's was on a restart, so a little bit more impressive.
Yeah, but George Russell definitely deserved that overtake of the week for his double pass.
He made it look ridiculously easy, too, which was also like kind of crazy. Like, he was so far out in front.
Oh, why doesn't everybody go around the corner like that?
Yeah, after turn two, he was so far out in front. It was like, what? that was a kind of an interesting start for Spain. Hopefully we get something similar in Austria. It's a pretty short run to the first corner, and It's a 90-degree right-hander, off camber, uphill. Oh man, I love Austria. That's on the F1 calendar. Austria and Spa are my two favorites to drive. Austria is so simple, but it's so hard to get perfect. All right, now let's move into our predictions. For IndyCar last week, we were at Laguna Seca. Pole position went to Alex Palou. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Alex Palou. This was a good week.
You had a good week in IndyCar. I had Colton Herta on pole, and he, I think, qualified third, something like that. He was third or fourth.
Fourth, I think.
Fourth, yeah. I think McLaughlin was third. But yeah, good job with that Palou. Nailed it. Podium, what did you have, Ben?
I had Herta, Palou, and Lundgaard.
I had Herta, Power, and Newgarden, and the podium was Palou, Herta, and Rossi. So both of us got Colton Herta, you got Palou. I didn't hit my last two, and you didn't hit your last one.
I'm watching my Lundgaard hopes slip away as he catches air over the corkscrew.
Yeah, and me watching Newgarden absolutely fumble the bag every chance he got. All right, winning number of pit stops. Was three. What'd you say, Ben?
It was three.
It was Let's three. Go. And I said two. I was unfortunately wrong. All right. Spanish Grand Prix. Top five, to remind everybody, was Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton, Russell, and Leclerc. What did you say, Ben?
This is not as good as IndyCar. I got Verstappen and Norris in first and second, but I put a lot of faith in Perez getting that podium, and it did not turn out. After that, I had Leclerc and Russell, and then I had Ricciardo as my dark horse.
Yeah. It did not go well for me either. I had Norris winning, followed by Hamilton and Verstappen. So I got the podium right.
You got the top four right.
I did, and Leclerc...
right?
No, I didn't.
Leclerc I guess was Leclerc fifth. Is five.
I had Leclerc fourth and Piastri fifth, and Tsunoda is my dark horse. I'm going to take one win and say Perez was not in the top five. And so there you go. My Perez slander is validated.
The anti-top five.
All right.
Who can we exclude correctly? Should be there.
Yeah, it would be really interesting is predicting 6 through 10. That would be quite spicy. That
takes too much brain power.
Yeah, there's no way that's possible. But all right. Fastest lap went to Lando Norris. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Russell.
I had Leclerc. Driver of the day went to Lando Norris. So what'd you say, Ben?
I had Sainz.
And I had Norris. So I got that point at least.
So mad that Norris keeps winning this.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, he deserves it, but...
A lot of people say he didn't deserve it in Spain. I kind of disagree. I think he did.
I disagree with that.
People are upset because Verstappen raced a great race, which he did, to his credit. Norris was the most entertaining to watch.
Yeah, he was. I would have given it to him or Russell, honestly.
Yeah, Norris or Hamilton even.
Or Hamilton, actually. Yeah, wrong Mercedes.
But Norris was cutting through the field the entire race. He was making passes the entire race. He was gaining on Verstappen. He was cutting that lead down. He drove fantastic other than the start. I don't think driver of the day necessarily has to do it with performance. Like, people are mad because... Oh, he started first and he finished second. Why should we give him driver of the day? I think we give him driver of the day because he was the most fun to watch.
Yeah. It's not like he gets points for it.
Yeah, exactly. Verstappen, we didn't see any of the whole race because he was always in front. So, yeah, Russell, Hamilton, or Norris, I think, were the big three that should have gotten it. And Norris got it, and I agree with that, and everyone else yep. can disagree with me.
Suck it.
Yeah, or that. All right, Austrian Grand Prix. Predictions for next week. It's the second race of the triple header, then we go to Great Britain the week after. Top five, Ben, what do you got?
All right, I've got Verstappen, Hamilton in second, Norris in third, Leclerc and Sainz in fifth, and then I have Alonso as my dark horse. You'll notice that I've taken after you, and Perez is no longer in my top five or my dark horse. I've been screwed by him for the last time. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll keep giving him chances.
Probably. Yeah, maybe. All right. I have Lando Norris winning because he has been on the podium the last few years in this track in a car that was not really a podium contender. So if he has a race-winning car now, what's to say he doesn't win the race? I could see that happening. I have Verstappen in second because, yeah. And then Leclerc third, Sainz fourth, and Russell fifth. I debated between Russell and Hamilton for that fifth spot. I gave it to Russell.
Again, they're so interchangeable.
They really are. It's kind of a toss-up either every week. And then my dark horse is Sergio Perez.
Ouch.
Not sure if it's more disrespectful to make him a dark horse or if it's more disrespectful just to leave him off the top five altogether.
To have hope that he at least places in the top five versus to not even give him the time of day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
All right, fastest lap, what do you got, Ben?
I'm going to give this one to Norris.
I'm giving this one to Verstappen. And driver of the day, what do you got?
I'm going to try Hamilton.
Okay. I'm going to take my free bingo space and take Lando Norris.
Can't keep getting away with this.
Oh, I can and I will. All right. Ben, do you have any words of wisdom? You don't have anything written down, so if you don't, I've got some.
I don't. It's off the cuff. It'll be short. You can give yours too. A rare Nathan's words of wisdom. My words of wisdom is to always have some critical things in your car or truck or motorcycle, I guess, if you have the space. Deodorant, pet hair roller, ibuprofen. Always three things to really have in your car or truck that are really good to have. You can use them for almost anything. Ibuprofen will cure almost anything, allegedly. And
not real
pet hair
roller,
so you always look fresh, or for a friend, because friends will always have pet hair on them no matter what. And yeah, I mean, that's what I got.
Okay, I do have one question for you.
Yes.
I do agree with keeping deodorant in the car. How on earth do you keep it from melting? You can't put spray deodorant. You can't put spray deodorant in the car because it'll explode.
Well, that's also, you know, it's... Don't use spray deodorant.
Yeah, no.
That just covers it up. You want actual deodorant that'll, like, you know, go to work.
Yeah.
Be targeted.
I've had many deodorant sticks melt in my car and cause problems, so...
Interesting.
I don't know really what to do about it, but anyway, my words of wisdom. I know Ben has actually had these be his words of wisdom in the past, but I'm going to reiterate because I've had a bad experience just today. Buy yourself some nice tools. Don't cheap out. Don't buy tools that aren't going to do the job when you need them to. Have a basic set of tools so that if somebody who happens to own the tools that you usually use moves away, you are still set with what you need.
Be the guy who people ask to help them with stuff because you have tools.
Exactly. I was considering asking Ben for help today, but I didn't.
Which you can always borrow tools if you need them.
I very much appreciate that. Are you home tomorrow?
Potentially. Okay. We'll talk offline.
Okay.
But
sounds good.
Yeah, there's always good resources on tool reviews and all that stuff on YouTube. I particularly like Project Farm because he always likes to give recommendations, not just for the best, but also for the best for the price. Gear wrench, Husky is pretty good. That's kind of the go-to if you're a broke college kid, is a good set of Husky tools.
Yeah.
Costco always has some good deals on DeWalt tools sometimes. Like, you don't need the Milwaukee sets. Like, gear wrench, Husky, other stuff, that's really all you need.
Yep. All right. That will conclude our words of wisdom for the week. And with that, thank you everybody so much for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed the episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok for the time being at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week to talk about the Formula One Austrian Grand Prix, and a week after that to talk about the Formula One British Grand Prix. But until then, yes, first one of the season. Until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.